In the Gospel of Matthew, the writer mentions the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven more than 50 times. If you ever read the Gospel of Matthew, it's not real big. You can read it in, you know, a couple of sittings without any problem. 50 times Matthew mentions the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Do you think he was serious about this issue? This was important. Jesus begins his preaching ministry with, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." In every one of the Gospels, he says that. What are we to repent of? And why focus on the kingdom and not the Lord, who is Jesus himself, or the King God? Why the kingdom? It's an interesting question that, personally, I don't think I've ever really thought about until recently. Now, keep in mind as we talk about this that any kingdom is a reflection of the King. So we are told to focus on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is a reflection of the King, God Almighty. Now, if this was the focus of Jesus' ministry and John the Baptist's ministry, then, and they had to tell people about it, then there must be another kingdom. Because Jesus spends his time describing the kingdom of God and showing us how to live in that kingdom as though we're not familiar with it. And we're not. He does this all the while contrasting God's kingdom and this other anti-God kingdom. Now, I want to show you this morning a little bit about this other kingdom, this anti-God kingdom. If you would, if you get your Bibles out and turn to Daniel chapter 10. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 10. Daniel is a well-loved Sunday school teacher's story. You know, Daniel in the lion's den and all, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all these other great stories in Daniel. And we get to Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 10, and he is praying. He's beginning to see a vision, and he says, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." He then continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerning a time yet to come." This person that Daniel was talking to is not a human being. He's an angel. The prince of Persia is not a human prince, but an underlord to the king of Persia, Satan himself. It took the angel, once he was dispatched from God, 21 days to get to Daniel. Think about that. It's just hard to imagine. And it took the help of Michael, the archangel, to come to his rescue, to get him through this other kingdom, deliver Daniel this message. See, the folks, the reality is there's two kingdoms. We don't see them, but they are in operation around us at all times. There is an anti-God kingdom ruled by the most beautiful angel that God ever created, Satan, Lucifer. And then it's God's kingdom, ruled by Jesus, who is the Son of God and our Lord. Now, why would God allow an anti-God kingdom to exist? Couldn't he just wipe it out and fix everything? Wouldn't that be nice? Sure would. You see, the problem is, though, without a choice, you have no freedom. God wants those who enter into eternity to do so because they want to be there. They have chosen to side with God and His kingdom. He doesn't want them there because they have no choice. Yeah, God could wipe out that anti-God kingdom. He could correct all the terrible things that are going on in the world. And you would only be left with one choice, and that would be God. And you have no freedom that way. God wants people in eternity with Him who want to be there, who want to be obedient to Him. We see this right from Genesis. Adam and Eve were given a choice as to which kingdom they would side with. God spent time with Adam and Eve. They walked with Him in the cool of the evening and talked with Him. What an incredible picture that is. They got to know the King of the kingdom. And then they were confronted by the king of the other kingdom. And he cast doubt on God and His truthfulness. And we all know the choice they made that has since put all of creation in rebellion against God and His kingdom. So when John the Baptist and Jesus focused their ministry on getting people to repent because the kingdom of God is near, and Jesus was constantly teaching people what the kingdom of God is like, it's because the people didn't know what the kingdom of God was like, and they didn't know the King. Paul in Romans chapter 1 and 2 says the evidence of God and His kingdom is in nature and in our conscience, yet we suppress that truth because we don't want to know. We would rather live the way we want to live and do the will of the other kingdom. The kingdom of God is a reflection of the King. But people don't know, want to know that kingdom or its King. And folks, all you have to do is just deal with non-Christians on a regular basis. And you know this is true. They don't want to know that kingdom. They don't want to know that King. And they don't want to live under that. So this morning, understanding all this, I want to deal with an aspect and a benefit of God's kingdom that a lot of times we just don't think about, but would have a huge impact in our lives if we truly understood it and focused on it. Now, it's been hot the last couple of weeks, right? Do any of you worry about staying warm? No. Now, if you were up north in the middle of winter, you might worry about staying warm. But I'm not worried about staying warm. It's been nice and hot. We're going to have a real nice lunch after this. I hope none of you are worrying about where you're going to get your next meal. You don't have to. We have a nice lunch. It's not nothing we have to worry about. There's a whole lot of things in your life that you're just not anxious about or worried about because it's not a big deal. But you know, there's a whole lot of things that can make you anxious in your life and really affect the way you feel, even your health. Worry and anxiety are a huge problem in our country today. It drives a whole section of our healthcare industry and provides potentially hundreds of millions of dollars for many of the professionals involved in treating worry and anxiety. I think we all know that, don't we? Yet even those people worry that people will stop being anxious because it could affect their finances. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning as we talk more about God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 24, we've been dealing with this section in Matthew for a number of weeks. But this is a great passage of Scripture, and I think sometimes we just don't really understand what it's saying. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look to the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I know you've heard this passage of Scripture before. It's very familiar if you've been involved with church for a while. Do you realize that what Jesus is doing here is making a very real and personal to us comparison between the two kingdoms? Pardon me. Now, what would you rather have? A life with no worries or anxiety? Or a life with worry and anxiety at every moment?
I'm going to trigger a lot of coughing.
This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in this passage. What do you want? Which side? Look at verse 27. Who of you can, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? He puts things in clear perspective. He's saying that you don't have control over your life. Actually, maybe that's something you should worry about. Jesus is right. You can't add a single hour to your life. There's no way. But you know, if you know anything about worry and anxiety, you know that worry and anxiety can rob days or years from your life. You can't add a single hour to your life, but boy, you could rob a lot of quality time in your life by worry and anxiety, or even die prematurely because of worry and anxiety. Satan convinced Adam and Eve that they could control their lives. That's what gave them the ability to make that decision, because they believed this lie. And he did it for the purpose of getting them to rebel against God. Look at Matthew 6, starting at 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed as one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? He is saying that if you are truly people of the kingdom of God, you will not have to worry about clothes. And he cites the flowers and the grass as examples. But you know what he's really saying here? He's saying you're worrying about things that are temporary, things that ultimately do not matter. Like the grass and the flowers, their beauty is temporary. Most of us, we know that. As we get older, we're past our beautiful period. You know, it's just the reality. Our beauty, even as Peter talks about, is internal with our relationship with God. The external beauty is not that important. Jesus, in saying this, wants us to focus on the thing that's permanent. If this clothing and food and drink and these other things are not important, they're temporary, we need to be focusing on what's important and what's permanent. And that's what kingdom we belong to. Jesus, in giving this example, is trying to get his listeners to understand that they're being tricked by Satan and his lies and your own corrupted human nature. If I'm focused on my material possessions and where those things are going to come from all the time, then I'm not focused on the thing that really is important, what kingdom I belong to, where I'm going to be for eternity. Then at the end of verse 30, to shock his listeners, Jesus says to them that they have little to no faith, which is really interesting. And it's all because they're anxious and worried about where their material possessions are going to come from. And he's speaking to Jews. So to say to a devout Jew, you know, you have no faith, that's like a slap in the face. Because they would have prided themselves of having a lot of faith in God. Yet he's saying, you're worrying about all your material possessions, which are temporary and don't matter, and you're not worried about the thing that matters, so you're not part of the kingdom of God. You have no faith. And then to make sure that they heard him right, he restates this in verse 31. He said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then on top of telling them they have no faith, he says, you're like the pagans. That really must have upset a bunch of people who were listening. You're just like the pagans. You're running after all these material things. You're worrying about them. You have no faith. You have no trust in God. And you're just like the Gentiles. Then we get to verse 32. I talked about verse 32. The pagans run, not just walk after these things, not just go after them, they run after these things, and he's comparing them to the activities of the pagans. You see, now he's got their attention. You get somebody a little off emotionally, and they're in a position to listen. And Jesus can really begin to show them the difference between God's kingdom and the kingdom of the ruler of this world. See, for the pagans running after all these things, and then Jesus comparing them to the pagans, it is all part of Satan's trick, getting us to chase after things that don't mean anything. He wants us to worry, Satan wants us to worry about them, so you're constantly distracted from being concerned about the very thing that has meaning. And that's what kingdom you're part of. But then Jesus reassures them. He said, listen, stop worrying about that stuff. Get your perspective and your priorities straightened out. Focus on the things that are important. And you know what? Your heavenly Father knows that you need those things, and he's going to provide them for you. So don't worry about that. It's all about getting our focus where it needs to be. So which kingdom is better? A kingdom that is based on lies and tricks to manipulate you, or the one that's based on love and making sure that you have what you need to live, learn, and grow as part of the kingdom? Which kingdom is better? I don't want to be part of something that is full of lies and tricks and manipulation. I don't think any of us do. I don't think the people of the world want that. I would rather be part of a kingdom that's based on love, that's based on concern for not only me, but every one of us. And that as we live in that kingdom, we live that way. I'm concerned about you and you and you, and you're concerned about me and the person next to you. And it's all based on love. That's what God's kingdom is all about. Not tricks and lies and manipulation. So once Jesus has their attention, he tells them that if they don't want to worry, they need to seek God's kingdom first. The very first thing they need to do is they need to seek God's kingdom, because that's where they really truly want to be in their heart. Even though they will deny that that's what they want. And then he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I would use the passage where he talks about the pagans run after these things. And I would say to you, you know what? You need to run after God's righteousness. If the pagans are running after the tricks and the lies of Satan, then you and I as believers, we need to run after God's righteousness. It needs to be number one priority in our life. Seeking the kingdom and running after his righteousness. We have to have our perspective and priorities correct. And God will supply your needs in ways that will absolutely surprise you and may at times shock you. If you would have been here yesterday for the ladies' breakfast and listened to Dwayne talk about the things that God had done in his life, he probably would tell you he was surprised and shocked all the time, because he is pursuing the kingdom. He is running after God's righteousness. He is trusting in the Heavenly Father who owns everything, and God is supplying needs that he would have never expected to be supplied. And that, my friends, is where we could be, every one of us, if we understand who our King is and what his kingdom is about, and we trust him. Seeking God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and God's going to provide the rest. We can have faith in that. But you know, the reality is, this is not easy. It is not easy. You and I are behind enemy lines. You saw this in Daniel. It took the angel 21 days to get to Daniel. We're behind enemy lines. God is helping us, encouraging us, as we have faith and we trust in him. But we have to deal with the other kingdom in our face every day. On TV, in the stores, everywhere around us, in the doctor's offices. Doesn't matter. Everywhere. We are dealing with the other kingdom in our face, telling us, you need this, that, and the other thing. You should be worried about this, that, and the other thing. And God says, trust me, I'll take care of it all. The organization that Dwayne, the guy who was here yesterday, is a representative of is called The Path. And it's a great name because it's a path we need to be on. And if we are not placing our faith in the King of the kingdom and trusting him to provide our material needs, which are all temporary and ultimately don't mean anything in light of eternity, we need to be out on a specific path. And I would encourage you this morning, if you're not on that path this morning, even if you're a believer, you can be off that path. If you're not on that path where you're having faith and you're trusting in God, then we need to get back on that path and not worry about the things that are temporary and really don't mean anything. Handing over our desires to be in control and trusting the King of the only kingdom that matters is just the beginning. You see, you got to start. So when Jesus said to repent for the kingdom of God is near. It's our trust in ourselves and the other kingdom to provide what we need. That's what we need to repent of. Think about that. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And it's because we're trusting in our own ability. We're trusting in that other kingdom for our needs and the things we want. And Jesus says, now, you need to repent of that and turn your attention back to God and have faith in Him, trust Him, the King of the only kingdom that matters, and He will provide the things that you need. So, I'm going to challenge you this morning, and I want you to think about this. Are you ready to let God take over? Are you really ready to let God take over? Let Him provide. Many times we're very good at making things happen. We're very good at providing for ourselves. And yet faith and trust in the Almighty God, the King of the kingdom, is exemplified in our life by us trusting in God for those things. I have a real bad tendency in my life, when I see a problem, I can figure out at least the beginning of a way to fix it. And it's something that I struggle with all the time, because what happens is I can go in there and I can fix things. Mechanical things, situations, whatever it may be. And I got to stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, what do you want to happen? Not what I want. And that's my personal struggle, which I've mentioned here before. So if I want to let God take over my life, if I want Him to be taking over all of our decisions, then we need to be running after His kingdom and running after God's rightness. He's the only one that's right. He is the measure of right, the measure of goodness. We need to make that commitment today, folks. Because so many of us, including myself, have gotten off track. And we need to make that commitment to run after God's kingdom and run after His righteousness. When Jesus and John the Baptist were saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, and then baptizing people, it was so that He took them from being off the path to getting them back on the path and pursuing what is right. Pursuing the righteousness of God. And we need to be moving in that direction every day. So as we close the service this morning, if you are not on that path, if you are being moved by the Holy Spirit this morning to make a public commitment to get back on that path, to repent of where you've been, trusting in the other kingdom, getting back on the path where you trust completely in God, I would ask you to come down front so we can pray over you and get you back where you need to be. If you don't come down front, folks, go home and make this a very serious matter of prayer this week. Because ultimately, the only kingdom that matters is the God's kingdom and our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He will provide for your needs. If we truly have faith in Him, He will do it in ways that will shock you and surprise you. But you got to be on the right path. You got to be trusting Him. Jesus has to be your Lord, and God's got to be your King. This is important. Every decision, every day, should be part of God. Let's pray.